You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched, you've struggled, you've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered, you've fought, you've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God, mind control, the last days, higher dimensions, unity, the power of faith, discovering the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that He will hide us under His feathers, and under His wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVaughn is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan DeVaughn.
You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVaughn. This show is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries, and you can find us at www.bridemovement.com. Folks, what can we do about insomnia? Is there a way to stop nightmares? How can we prevent ourselves from experiencing out-of-body events while we sleep? How can we stop sleep paralysis? And how can you stop dreams of being raped or incubus and succubus spirits that creep around and actually do rape people in their sleep? What do we do about these things? Now, as I've embarked on this journey with the Lord, I've found that the devil attacks people any way he can. If he can't get you while you're awake, he'll definitely try to get you while you sleep. Even if he is getting you while you're awake, he's still going to try to get you while you sleep. He wants to destroy your life. And one of the biggest battlegrounds that people face is the battleground for their sleep. For some, a sound night of sleep may seem to be a faraway fantasy. Now, today, this is going to be the subject of our discussion. The program is titled, How to Stop Nightmares, Sleep Paralysis, and Other Nuisances. Before I really dive into this, I want to make a brief announcement. My newest book, Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations, is available. It's available on the website, and it is becoming available all over the internet. I just checked today. Amazon has it. And so you can also buy it from Amazon.com if you want it for your Kindle player. It should be on Barnes & Noble anytime soon now for your Nook. And folks, get the book. I mean, this is a work that has been on the shelf for years. I've been tailoring it, editing it, rewriting and rewriting as I have grown in my own personal journey, understanding end times and all these things that are going on in the world, as well as the things that God plans to do. It's a revolutionary perspective on eschatology, end times events. Get the book. It's not expensive, and I did that on purpose so that as many people as want it will get their hands on it. It's available as an ebook. That is the announcement. What we're going to be talking about today regarding the sleep thing is based on a prayer. I call it the evening prayer, and you can find it at bridemovement.com. under our prayer resources button. And this prayer is outlined not only with the prayer itself, but with footnotes that actually teach every element of a prayer that I've put together to solve the problem of sleep. And folks, that is available. I'll be making the same announcement towards the end of the program. So once you hear all of the strategies and everything else, you can go in and get the prayer for yourself. Now, in my own life, I have identified a number of ways that the devil will attack me, while I'm sleeping, okay? And these are things that I know that initially I didn't want to believe he could even do some of these things. As a matter of fact, there are certain groups of believers out there that will teach you that the devil cannot do what he's actually already doing to you because it doesn't line up with their fantasy of what they think their theology should mean and say. And, you know, frankly, okay, there are things happening that absolutely contradict certain people's theologies that are faulted, but it doesn't mean that there's any less truth to what's actually happening, and it doesn't mean that we don't need solutions, even though there are people out there that say, well, this can't happen because my version of biblical interpretation says it can't, you know? And so I've had to dismiss certain things that I wanted to believe couldn't be true in order to have freedom in Christ and to have the pleasantries of knowing how I could be sheltered and protected from things happening to me in my sleep that I didn't want to be happening. Now, over the years, I've compiled a prayer that I say every night before I go to bed. So this prayer I'm telling you about on the website, I put it there. This isn't just something I just threw up there. No, this is what I use in my own life. And I'm telling you, the devil has thrown a lot of things at me over the years, everything and the kitchen sink. And frankly, this prayer is tailored to apply the victory of Jesus Christ to all those different areas so the devil can't do it. And what works for me, I believe, will also work for you because you know what? It works. So, this program will be a teaching through this prayer. And this teaching will hopefully be a resource to you. And if you hear this and you know people, this person has told me this happens to them in their sleep paralysis. This person told me this happens to them in their sleep, they're getting raped. This person told me this happens to them in their sleep, they're being pulled out of their body. This person told me, you know, this happens to them in their sleep, they're getting downloads. Literally, something is speaking to their mind and they're having mind-to-mind communication with stuff. Nightmares that just don't stop. The list goes on and on and on. This program is for you. However, due to the subject matter of this particular program and the fact that I'm believing God, that a lot of people will listen to this program that have never heard me before, have never heard Dan Duvall, don't know anything about, you know, spiritual warfare, don't know anything about eschatology, whatever. They're just really wanting some solutions for their sleep. I'm going to begin with the solution, who is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Without him, the strategy that I will be presenting, which is a prayer, is irrelevant. So let's begin here. And for those of you that have never been exposed, maybe, to a presentation of who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you, this part of the program is for you. Now, who is Jesus Christ? The Bible reveals that Jesus Christ was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Jesus Christ, according to biblical revelation, is also God. And the gospel message of Jesus Christ is that he came to be born of a virgin. His mother's name was Mary. He was born of a virgin, lived a righteous life, fulfilled the law. He engaged in what many believe to be a 3-year ministry, and then was crucified, not because he had done anything wrong, but because he had to die to be a sacrificial lamb so that his shed blood could be a propitiation or an appeasement for the wrath of God so that God could forgive men. So Jesus Christ, being God, offered himself up as a perfect sacrifice, had to undergo crucifixion, which was the most shameful, horrible, horrific, painful way to die, so that God could redeem men. What was the necessary redemption? Why did God have to die to redeem men? Because of something called sin. Sin, which means to miss the mark, which means to break the perfect, righteous, and holy laws of God is what separates men from a righteous, holy, and perfect God. Without an ability to make ourselves righteous, men had no way to get to God until Jesus died. And with the death of Jesus, he became the atonement for our sins. And through him, God allows people who were formerly separated from him to enter into relationship with him. So after Jesus died, the Bible says that on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And then he later went and ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus died for our sins to reunite us to God. And the Bible goes on to tell us all of these promises and benefits that we get as a result of what Jesus did. Because he changes our identity. The Bible says old things have passed away. All things are become new. The Bible says we have been forgiven. The Bible says we have been accepted in the beloved. The Bible says we have been redeemed. This is what Jesus Christ accomplished for mankind. But the sacrifice and the atonement are not without a requirement on our part. We can't get reunited to God. We can't get the acceptance of God. We can't get the forgiveness of God until we choose to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and to turn our life over to him. We can't get the promises of God's word working in our lives until the promise maker is part of our lives. And that's the decision that we make. We receive salvation in Jesus Christ as a free gift. God is offering the free gift, but we, of our own accord and our own free will, have to take that gift and accept it and say, I will own that. I will make that mine. And we do that, according to Romans 10:9, by believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And folks, if you are listening to this and have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, have never received forgiveness of sins, atonement, redemption from darkness, translation out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son, having received the gift of righteousness, today is your day. And you can do that right now, because everything I'm about to tell you about how to stop the nightmares, the sleep paralysis, the rape, the persecution by spirits, the being pulled out of your body, the solution to all of these problems is the power of Jesus Christ. And so if you don't have him, you won't have his power. So get him. He loves you. He died for you. The Bible says it is not the will of God for anyone to perish, but yet that all men would come to everlasting life. So God wants you. He wants you, regardless of what you've done or where you've been, what you've been a part of. God wants you. And if you're ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, you can do that right now by praying with me. And it's not the prayer that saves you. It's the grace of God that saves you. And it is grace working through faith, your faith, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he did die for your sins. This prayer won't work unless you believe it's going to work and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that you believe that you are, by an act of your will and decision making, allowing Jesus Christ to come into your life, to live his life in you and through you from now on, and to give your life over to him. If you're ready for that, say this prayer with me. Lord God, I come before you in prayer, and I admit that I am a sinner. I acknowledge that I have been separated from the true and living God. But I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died for my sins, and on the third day, he was raised from the dead, that he ascended to heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father. Lord God, I repent of my sins. Forgive me. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Today, I choose, by an act of my will and decision-making ability, to make Jesus the King of my life. Lord God, I invite you in to live your life in me and through me from now on. Thank you for blessing me with the free gift of salvation and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, if you said that prayer and you know you meant it, I want you to send me an email, www.bridemovement.com. Contact me, and I'd love to rejoice with you. With that foundation, I'm going to relay to you the evening prayer, or how I have learned to apply the resources of God in His kingdom to deliver me from problems during sleep, so that I can sleep soundly, that I can wake up the next morning in a good mood, that I have energy for my day, and that the devil is not stealing from me this area of my life. Here's the prayer. Father, I come before you in prayer. I enter into your gates with thanksgiving and enter into your courts with praise. I praise you because you are worthy, holy, righteous, and just. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself, my dwelling place, my spouse, my children, my car, my bank account, and everything under my stewardship. I pray that your heavenly hosts, your angels, would guard this dwelling place round about, both above and below, and against every dimensional access point in Jesus' name. I will say of the Lord that you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you will I trust. I thank you that you have set a hedge of protection round about me, and that no plague will come near my dwelling. I thank you in advance that every curse, hex, spell, incantation, voodoo, sorcery, form of witchcraft, dark art, or other form of weaponized demonic activity sent against me would be reversed upon the heads of the senders sevenfold, that they would know that Jesus is Lord. Moreover, I pray that every human spirit, fallen angelic spirit, or otherwise malevolent spirit attempting to come against me or my household would be apprehended by your heavenly hosts, such that they cannot so much as set foot upon this property. I pray that they would be escorted out to where the Lord Jesus sends them, pierced through with many arrows and discomfited by your lightning in the process, that they would know that Jesus is Lord. Furthermore, I cancel and render powerless all attempts at mind-to-mind communication, dream manipulation, and all other forms of psychic and telepathic intrusion in the name of Jesus. I thank you that all of my dreams are inspired by your Holy Spirit. I declare that my sleep will be sweet, uninterrupted, and that upon waking, I will be well rested. I also put on the armor of light. I take up the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. I declare that my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and I take up the shield of faith, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I hope that as I was going through that prayer, you're listening and you're like, wow, that's powerful. Here's the truth. The word of God is always powerful. And this prayer is entirely based, believe it or not, on the word of God applied. Promises of God, revelations found in the scriptures that are relevant to what happens to people, present-day scenarios. Now, let's get into some of this prayer and to why it's effective. Okay, so beginning in the first line, I start off the prayer by saying, Father, I come before you in prayer. I enter into your gates with thanksgiving. I enter into your courts with praise. I praise you because you are worthy, holy, righteous, just. Okay, why would I praise God at the beginning or outset of my prayer? Well, the truth is that Psalm 100 in verse 4 says that we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. What we need to understand, and this is really a new level of Christian thought, is that prayer isn't just a soliloquy where we're expressing some kind of poetic rendition to God from this place on earth. When we pray, what we are really doing is engaging the heavenlies in the heavenlies. In other words, our physical body prays, but our spirit man, who has been raised up and seated in heavenly places with Christ, Ephesians 2:6, is actually being an engager of the realm of God's kingdom during that prayer time. So when the Bible says something like in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 that we should come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need, that's our spirit man in heaven while we are physically praying with our mouth, coming before the throne of God literally. So when we pray and we say, I'm going to purpose to enter your gates with thanksgiving and enter into your courts with praise, our spirit man is literally in heaven entering the gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. And look, the Bible says that the time is coming and now is that the Father will seek those, will seek worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is actually seeking worshipers. It is so much more effective to begin a prayer with thanksgiving and worship than anything else. This is what I found. It's like God immediately responds. It's like this. You know, someone knocks on your door. Knock, knock, knock. They open the door. And you're looking at this like, how can I help you? And they're like, I want your stuff. You know, and it's like, who are you? And why do you want my stuff? What's the deal here? Let's rewind and do it a better way. Knock, knock, knock. You open the door. Hello, how can I help you? Hey, listen, I've heard you're a great guy. You're really cool. You're awesome. And I know that you can help me because you've helped a lot of other people before in the past. And I believe the testimony. Listen, I have some things I need, which, you know, I'm cooking a pie. I need some sugar. Can you get me some sugar? Now, suddenly, behind the door, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can get you that. I'm happy to do it. Lovely to meet you. This is the difference between a Christian that just comes in prayer, Lord, I need, give me, my name is Jimmy, and a Christian that comes to prayer and just says, God, I love you, I praise you, I worship you, because why? You're worth it. You're awesome. Oftentimes, if you want to expand a prayer, you know, I will go into all the names of God. I love this Jehovah series, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there, Jehovah Nisi, my banner of victory, Jehovah Sidkenu, God my righteousness, Jehovah Mekedesh, my sanctifier, Jehovah Shalom, my peace, Jehovah Elohim, the creator God, Jehovah Gabor, the God who is mighty in battle. I mean, there's two more out there, but the idea is that we worship God for who he is, for what he's done, and it just opens the whole prayer time up to, you know, God's presence, and it's better for us, and it's better for God, really, if we come thanking and praising and in that worshipful attitude. So our heart's right. I say this. We never stop giving thanks and praise to God. You can always tell people, that Christians, miserable Christians, because you ask them, well, what's your praise life like? What's your worship life like? And they look confused. Like, worship life? What is that? You know? It's like it doesn't even exist. It'll register. What is worship? They don't even know what worship is. That's why you're miserable. You know what? if we spend a lot of time worshiping God, we are actually engaging God's presence, and his reality overtakes and overshadows us. The Bible says the Lord inhabits praise, and that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, when God is inhabiting our praise, we're worshiping God. I mean, it is the strength of God that begins to indwell us at that point because his joy overtakes us. Why? Because we're in his presence, because we're accessing him through worship. If we remove that from our lives, we're going to have a problem. So enter into prayer with worship and thanksgiving. It's a good practice. I go on in the prayer and I say, I praise you because you are worthy, holy, righteous, and just. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself, my dwelling place, my spouse, children, my car, my bank account, and everything under my stewardship. Let me tell you the truth. I remember when I was in Tulsa. I love this story. When I was in Tulsa, I went one day, parked my car underneath a tree. The tree had a branch. It was hanging over my car. And that night, the unspeakable happened. An ice storm hit Tulsa. And this happens every so often. And Tulsa has this weird climate that allows for these ice storms. So the water comes down like rain, but it freezes on contact. And so when there's an ice storm, you'll come out the next day and everything's coated in ice. Even like the individual leaves on a bush, there'll be, you know, like hundreds and hundreds of leaves. They're all individually coated with ice. So it's super pretty. I mean, it looks just like glitter everywhere. Everything's shiny. And guess what else happens? Stuff breaks because the ice, it gets on stuff. It weighs it down. Power lines will fall, trees, things go wrong. And then cars get in accidents because the road gets coated in ice. Then it might get covered in snow. So the ice is under the snow. Cars slip and slide. Black ice happens, on and on and on. Anyway, I parked my car under this tree. This branch is hanging over my car. And the ice storm hits. So all this weight forms on this branch from the ice. And guess what? Branch breaks. Now, I'm in my house and I hear the branch break that night. It's like, and then it just, and I'm like, man, something got destroyed there. So when I went out, and I think, I think it was in the morning. I went out to look at what happened, and lo and behold, it was the branch that was over my car that had broke. And I said, oh, wow. Because what had happened was, instead of falling directly down like gravity would, you know, should have yielded, that should have been the result. I parked my car under the branch. Branch should have fallen on my car. Instead, it fell on the motorcycle next to my car. Almost like as if it had started to fall, hit a force field, rolled over, and smashed the other stuff. What happened there? I was praising God. I learned before this happened to plead the blood of Jesus over my car. Now, some people would never think that you could plead the blood of Jesus over something like a car, but you can. And, you know, God is no respecter of persons. If my neighbor had been pleading the blood of Jesus, maybe the branch would have missed their motorcycle too and gone over to the next spot, you know, because death respects the blood. Think about that. When death was sent to the Egyptians to kill the firstborn, what did death respect? The blood on the doorpost. So if death respects the blood, how much more a tree branch? This is the thing. The Bible says, Revelation 12:10, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Look, the enemy hates the blood of Jesus because he's overcome by it. His attacks are overcome by it. The power of the blood is an inarguable weapon in the believer's arsenal. Life is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. So every time the blood of Jesus is applied, it is an application of the very life of Jesus Christ. It is an application of the power to cleanse sin, to bring healing, and it is one of three that bear witness to the resurrection and victory of Jesus Christ in the earth, along with the water and the Spirit, according to 1 John 5:8. All right, so what happens there is that whenever the blood is applied, it is actually a representation of the victory of Jesus Christ in that area of life. Can you imagine? So every time the enemy comes up against the blood, it's like you have to respect the victory of Jesus. So he has to respect the victory of Jesus over my family. He has to respect the victory of Jesus over my living situation. He has to respect the victory of Jesus over my bank account. That's what the blood of Jesus is actually applying. So when we apply the blood of Jesus to all these areas of our life, we are actually sealing the devil out and his attacks and just mishaps. I mean, when I learned to plead the blood of Jesus over my bank account, I'm telling you, it was the most wonderful decision I ever made. And it works. That's all I can say. It works. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you what works. I don't go broke. The Bible says that God has provided our every need out of the abundance of his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The blood actually ensures the promises of God. So we seal everything with the blood of Jesus, including our living space. So now the devils are trying to come into your living space. They're coming up against a big barrier. It's called the blood of Jesus. It's shutting them down. It's shutting down their access. It is powerful. Now, next step. Because while the blood is super powerful, there's a heck of a lot more that is put in this prayer very specifically, and it is just just awesome when you put it all together. So the next part of the prayer says, I pray that your heavenly host, and of course, when we're talking about who's heavenly host, we're talking about the heavenly hosts that surrender and call the Lord Jesus Christ their king. In other words, we are the children of God, and as children, we have been made heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. So in God's kingdom, we are calling upon his resources for our protection, which is why we have to know Jesus. Because if we don't know Jesus, how are we going to gain access to his resources? We have to be his children first. So as his children, which is why we come to God through the prayer of salvation. By the way, if you said that prayer of salvation, your next step is to get baptized in water. But as we pray, we can go on and we say, I pray that your heavenly hosts, your angels, would guard this dwelling place round about, both above and below, and against every dimensional access point in Jesus' name. The Bible says in 2 Kings 6:17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, in that passage, Elisha's servant was nervous because he was like, well, we're going to get attacked and there's so many of them and we're all alone. And Elisha was like, we're not alone. We have the hosts of heaven on our side and I know it, but you need to see it. So he prayed, God opened his eyes and he saw the protection. Angels round about above and below. So God set his army in battle array round about the prophet Elisha. And centuries later, watch this. Jesus goes on to say that John the Baptist was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Luke 7:28. Then he said the most remarkable thing you can ever imagine. He says, he is also less or than those in the kingdom. In other words, he said, the least in the kingdom was greater than him. So, under the old covenant, there was a certain kind of relationship that people would be able to tap into with God. But in the new covenant, in other words, when we get to the point in time where we have salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, there is a revolution. Suddenly, we are entering the kingdom as the sons of God. We have a change in identity. The Bible says through these great and precious promises, we have become partakers of the divine nature. So if God was going to assign angelic hosts to his prophet, and the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was greater than Elisha. You get the picture. God has plenty of resources available for you. He loves you. He's got your back. So God will send armies to war on our behalf. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. One of those ministries is protection. Protection. When? Why not during our sleep? The Bible says in Psalm 91:11-12, that his angels will keep us in all our ways. They'll be given charge over us. They're going to bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot upon a stone. So let's take these verses and apply them to our sleep situation. It says, not only are we going to have the blood of Jesus, we're also going to have the armies of heaven defending us in our sleep. There it is in Scripture. Let's apply it. I go on in the prayer. And I say this, I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you will I trust. How can God be our refuge and our fortress? It's because we're hidden in Christ. So not only do we have the angelic defense, not only do we have the blood of Jesus, but suddenly when we apply Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. We have actually stationed ourselves in the fortress that is God. So we have the fortress that is God, angels surrounding the fortress, and the blood of Jesus. What a better place to sleep. But we're not even done with the prayer yet because we take it a step further. We say, I thank you that you have set a hedge of protection round about me, and no plague will come near my dwelling. This again is pulled right out of Psalm 91, verse 10 in specific. And it's self-explanatory. So now we have the fortress of God, the hedge of protection, the angelic barrier, and the blood of Jesus. Let's take it a step further. I thank you in advance that every curse, hex, spell, incantation, voodoo, sorcery, form of witchcraft, dark art, or other form of weaponized demonic activity sent against me would be reversed upon the heads of the senders sevenfold, that they would know that Jesus is Lord. So now, here's what happens. We have the fortress of God around us with the hedge of protection, the angelic barrier, and then the blood. Now the enemy is going to be dumb enough to attack us anyway, because he will. And here's what happens. Those demonic attacks come, those witches send their curses, those spirits go out from those rituals, and they're coming at you, and suddenly they hit this bungee, they hit this trampoline, they hit this, you know, reflexive barrier that bounces them right back to where they came from, with an acceleration. You know, when you think about baseball, sometimes, you know, the pitcher will throw the ball, but once it hits the bat, its acceleration actually increases in the opposite direction. So that's the same thing. It's like pulling out the bat and hitting it right back. Now, why would you pray that curses would be reversed? Well, frankly, because it works. One, because when people are sending curses at you and suddenly they have to suffer the consequences of their actions, they're going to be less likely to do it. You know, the bully always wants to pick on the kid that won't fight back, and suddenly when they have to fight back or fight with the person they're trying to pick on, they're going to find someone else to pick on because they don't want to fight. They just want to be the bully. It's the same thing. So sending the curse back is saying, basically, here's the fruit of your labor, you know, enjoy. When a curse is reversed upon the heads of the sender, it serves as strong discouragement to continue. When a curse is reversed with the purpose of revealing the power of Jesus, which is part of the prayer, I believe that Jesus actually honors this prayer, and it goes back with a revelation. You just mess with the child of the living God. Now, on what grounds can a curse be reversed? Now, this is a good question. The Bible is clear in Galatians 3:14 that we are partakers of what's called the blessing of Abraham. Part of Abraham's blessing included the promise that those that cursed him would be cursed, and those that blessed him would be blessed. Genesis 12:3. So, that is the scriptural grounds for praying, Lord, I pray that you would reverse the curses that have been sent against me. We're partakers of the blessing of Abraham. Part of that blessing included the reversal of the curse. Now, why sevenfold? Well, Proverbs 6:31 says that when the thief is called, he shall restore sevenfold even to the whole of his house. Deuteronomy 28:7 says that the enemy will rise up against me in one direction and flee in seven. Okay, so sevenfold consequences for wrongs committed. It's right there. This is a way to strongly discourage people and spirits and different things from targeting you, because there'll be consequences on the back end. Next. Moreover, I pray that every human spirit, fallen angelic spirit, and otherwise malevolent spirit attempting to come against me or my household would be apprehended by your heavenly hosts, such that they cannot so much as set foot upon this property. I pray that they would be escorted out wherever the Lord Jesus sends them, pierced through with many arrows and discomfited by your lightning in the process, that they would know that Jesus is Lord. So, we have the fortress of God, then we have the hedge of protection, then we have the angelic sphere of protection and authority and power and war, and then outside of that we have the blood of Jesus covering the whole thing, plus everything else under our stewardship as we're going to sleep. The curses that come at us are being reversed and bounced off at the senders, and now we're adding another level, okay? Demons are not the only spirits that lurk around, okay? The devil also uses human agents to do out-of-body work. Now, what they do is they will astral project, and people that learn how to astral project are often also selfish with it. So let's say, and this happens, example. Let's say that, you know, you're really cute. Just happens to be the truth. You know, you're really cute. And there's this kind of creepy guy that knows he'd never have a chance with you, but guess what? He knows some witchcraft. He knows how to draw a pentagram. He knows how to do an astral projection. So what does he do? Well, he goes, he draws his pentagram, does an astral projection, and finds where you live. And while you're sleeping, he messes around with you in his spirit body. Stuff like this happens. People don't understand that one of the ways the devil gets people is he'll send human agents to pull spirits out of body, into out of body experiences, particularly because why? They're not covered by the authority of God. They're not in the fortress of God. They don't have the angels surrounding them, so on and so forth. So they have access. they'll pull the human spirit out of the body if there's a cooperation and a submission to that. And they can actually take them to other places to be parts of things in the spirit realm. Watch this. Sexual events, rituals, different things that are really traumatizing, and then the spirit ends up back in the body. The person wakes up thinking they had a horrible nightmare, but it's so crystal clear because this came back to them as a real memory. I've had this report given to me. This is exactly what happens. They were out of body. They really experienced something only in the spirit world on the surface of the earth. Basically, they weren't in another realm. They were just in the spirit realm tied to the earth, and they were traumatized, returned to their body. A real event happened. Real memories were stored, and that's what you wake up with. And you're like, what do I do to stop this? I go to sleep and I have these terrible experiences and encounters. I'm being fondled. I'm being violated. I'm doing this. You know, well, here's a solution. Put yourself in the fortress of God, surrounded by the hedge of protection and his holy angels, and apply the blood of Jesus. And then make sure that when they try to come back and do these things to you, and this could be human agents, this could be fallen angelic spirits. I throw other malevolent spirits in there just to cover my bases. So they can't do this kind of manipulation with you. I've actually had a spirit show up in my house and try to pull me out of my body. Okay, so I know what I'm talking about here. Fortunately, I was aware of what was happening. It didn't work. But this is something that goes on in the world we're living in. Okay, this is not something we just dust under the thing. It's like, well, you know, I never learned this in my Baptist seminary, so obviously it can't be true. What the heck? You know, let's just throw all that out. We know it's happening. I know it's happening. You're listening to this probably because you're going through this stuff. Here's the solution. So we pray that any human spirit, fallen angelic spirit coming to my household are apprehended by the heavenly host. So in other words, that angelic barrier we set up in the beginning, now those angels are on assignment. Anyone trying to come in, they grab them, they bully them, and they take them out. They can't even get close to you. They're being escorted out before they even cross the property line. And then we add that, they would be escorted to where the Lord Jesus sends them. In other words, you don't have to figure out where they need to go. Jesus knows where they need to go. On the way out, they'll be pierced through with many arrows and is comforted by the lightnings of God in the process, so that they know that Jesus is Lord. They know that you're a child of God. And they know that they're trespassing. Big problems for them. Great deal of discouragement. Probably won't want to do it again. So, this is part of the prayer. Extremely effective at shutting down those experiences that are coming back. You think they're dreams, but they're really real memories occurring in the spirit realm. That part of the prayer will stop a lot of that because they can't access you anymore by pulling you out of your body, so on and so forth. Okay, now then there's another level. So I was so blown away when I was able to make this distinction. I can't believe this is happening. So furthermore, you say, I cancel and render powerless all attempts at mind-to-mind communication, dream manipulation, and all other forms of psychic and telepathic intrusion in the name of Jesus. So this is this place where people, angels, malevolent spirits can come and try to pull you out of your body or pull you into dreams that are manipulated, you know, by demonic sources. If you've ever woken up out of a demonic dream, you probably remember, like, you were, you know, trying to run, but there was a demon chasing you, or you couldn't move. It felt like Freddy Krueger. I mean, these are like demonically manipulated dreams. There are certain times where people will wake up and it's like messages are being dropped in their head from an external source while they're sleeping. It's like someone's literally trying to talk to them, like right outside of their head. They hear the voice and it's, you know, blah, 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 saying whatever nonsense. Okay, on the dark side, there is such a thing as psychic communication, mind-to-mind communication, where your thoughts are being retrieved and thoughts are being planted into your mind. This happens. And this actually happened to me on one or two occasions. I woke up and I just rebuked it, and then I realized, why am I going to wake up and rebuke this event? I'll just shut it down before it has the opportunity to take place, because obviously someone's trying to mess with me. I've been identified in the spirit realm as a threat. you know, they're trying to find a way in to attack or to confuse or whatever. So we're just going to shut it down in Jesus' name. So you just simply say it. I cancel and render powerless all attempts at mind-to-mind communication, dream manipulation, all other forms of psychic communication. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's a way to gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, you know, strap up so your mind is inaccessible to the forces of darkness while you're sleeping. Isn't that amazing? So there's your scripture reference right there. Absolutely incredible that God gives us all these promises. So this is for those that, you know, yeah, maybe they're not going to try to get into that strong tower because they have to get through the hedge of protection, because they have to get through the angelic barrier and the blood of Jesus. They're trying to project through all that with the mind thing. Shut it down as well. Going back, I mentioned that you can pray that those spirits would be pierced through with many arrows and discomfited by the lightnings of God. Some of you might be scratching your head at that language. Say, where did you get that from, Daniel? The answer, Psalm 18:14. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out his lightnings and discomfited them. Yes, God does have arrows and lightnings, and yes, we can use them. The fiery darts of the enemy in Ephesians 6:16 that many believers have been taught about are only the counterfeit to the arrows of God. Think about that. All right, next part of the prayer. Now, this is awesome. I thank you that all of my dreams are inspired by your Holy Spirit. Now, God spoke on many occasions in the Bible through dreams. He spoke to Jacob in a dream in Genesis 46:2. He spoke to Daniel in a dream. That was in Daniel 7:7 and 7:13. You know, he spoke to Isaiah in a dream, the Bible says, in the night visions. So why not pray that God would do the same with us? We're already in his strong tower, in the secret place of the Lord. We might as well open up ourselves to his sweet whispers, his communications, his revelation while we're asleep. Why waste time? So we don't want the devil communicating with us. We don't want other human nonsense going on, communicating with us, evil, dark side agents of the devil and so forth, demonic. But we do want the intervention and the influence of God during our sleep. So we pray for it. This is a scriptural thing. On this point, I am going to make a note here. I would basically acknowledge two levels of dreaming that take place. Basically, most dreams are going to fall into one of two categories. Category A are going to be dreams that are projections of the subconscious. In other words, neurons firing in our brain, repressed thoughts, feelings, emotions, and even the pizza that we ate last night can influence the kind of dream that we have. These are often dreams that have little to no meaning, or at least no spiritual significance, and simply reveal the things that we're going through in life. Now, the Bible also talks about things called night visions, which are spiritual events. And so when you're going to have an encounter with God in a dream, or an encounter with demons in a dream, or an encounter with anything, you have actually exited the subconscious realm of dreaming and really entered into the spirit realm of event. So the spiritual events, while the body sleeps, can come back to us as dreams. But when we have a spiritual event with God while we sleep, it may come back to us as a dream, but you know what? It was a night vision. In other words, like the prophets of old, they would say, the Lord spoke to me in the night visions. It's a very cool thing. It's all in scripture. There's a lot of references. I would say just do a word study on Bible Gateway on night visions if you want to really have a powerful time with the Lord and say, wow, you do some awesome things when we sleep. And, you know, so what I do is I just set myself up for success. Before I go to sleep, I pray, Lord, if I'm going to have any dreams, I want them to be because of encounters with you. So I open up myself to that. It doesn't mean I'm going to have a dream from God every night. Absolutely not. But I'm open to it. So when God decides he's going to send me a dream, he's going to communicate with me while I'm sleeping, it takes place. Awesome stuff. Awesome sauce. All right. Next. I declare that my sleep will be sweet uninterrupted, and that upon waking, I will be well rested. Wow. Now, some of you listening to this, you're like, my gosh, this is awesome. This is what I've been waiting for, because I haven't been able to sleep for weeks, for months, for years. My sleep has been a fearful thing. It's been stolen from me. It's been hijacked. It's been a time of, you know, regret and remorse and trauma and this and that. Look, this is what the Bible says. Proverbs 3:24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Listen, folks, sweet sleep is a promise from God to his children. Don't ever think otherwise. Here's the truth. If you're not having sweet sleep, it's because the devil is stealing something from your life. It's theft, it's robbery, and it's crime. Children of God, the children of righteousness, are promised sweet sleep. And so what we do is we apply our inheritance in Christ to our sleep situation so we get what we're promised. You know, many of the promises of God are what you would call conditional, and they're all based on faith. In other words, and I explain this to people so that people understand, there are two sides of reality. There's earth's side of reality and there's heaven's side of reality. On heaven's side of reality, God has already answered every promise he's ever made. They're all established there. On earth's side of reality, there are facts that go along with our fallen state of existence. Earth and heaven are out of alignment. When God established all his promises for us and all of his provisions for us and all of his inheritance for us, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:3 that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In other words, he established them and fixed them and planted them and stored them all up in heaven's side of reality. On earth's side of reality, we're out of alignment with that. And so what we do is we, by faith, get in agreement with God's promises so that as far as the points touching our life are concerned, earth is brought back into alignment with heaven so that there's a free flow of all the promises and resources of God that have already been established and promised to us. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we cannot access those things which God has given to us. So how do we exercise our faith? By our words. By our prayers. We put our faith in what God's word says. And as we do that, earth on our life, as far as our life is concerned, is overlapping on the resources of heaven, which have already been appointed, which have already been authorized. And there's this free flow from heaven to earth. So you say, you know, I've been a Christian and I've been partaking of the gift of righteousness for all these years, but I've never been able to sleep well. And I've had all these problems. Why are you going to tell me about the promises of God? You know, if they were really promises, they should have been answered all this time. False. Where has your faith been? Where has your confession been? What have your prayers been like? This is the difference between living a life of victory and living a life that is stolen from you by the enemy. How are we applying the inheritance that God has given us? There's always an application. There's always a demand on our own faith to believe God for what he said. There's a demand on our own agreement. Look, God's not going to force you to do anything, folks. He said, whatever you ask, believing you receive it, you will have it. So here we are. We're going to ask for what we want, which is the promise of God for sweet sleep, and believe that we receive it, so we have it. Bring earth into alignment with the provisions of heaven. Deep stuff. All right, so now the next thing is really self-explanatory, the armor of God. So awesome, right? So God gave us his armor. The Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So what is that? Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take up the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. So now, whereas at one point in time, you were almost like that guy that was sleeping naked in the middle of a field surrounded by wolves and predators and scorpions and all kinds of snakes and evil things, and now got up out of your little campsite with no shelter, no fire, no protection, and walked past the line of blood through a crowd of angels that are all standing there armed and ready to make war, through the hedge of protection, into the fortress of God, and then went in your wardrobe and put on a suit of armor. So now this is how you're sleeping. You got the suit of armor inside the fortress of God, surrounded by the hedge of protection, with a big orb of angels surrounding you, round about on every side and against every dimensional access point, and then the blood of Jesus to seal it all off, and everything under your stewardship. What better conditions to sleep in than that? And then we end the prayer. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Folks, you've had a problem. Your sleep's been stolen from you. Here's the solution: the power of God, the provisions of Jesus Christ, the inheritance of the saints. The Bible says in John 14:13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So now that we've gotten through this whole prayer, we say we're going to ask it in the name of Jesus. Keeping in mind this, what does a name reflect? Character. A name reflects character. So whenever we ask anything in the name of Jesus, we're asking it in the character of Jesus, which is why we have to be careful what we tag in the name of Jesus. We don't say, Lord, I pray that you would help me to get drunk really fast in the name of Jesus. Because you know what? Getting drunk is outside of the character of God. What is in the character of Jesus Christ is his word. And this entire prayer is based upon his word. So we ask it in his name, revealing his character, basically agreeing with his seal of approval upon the whole thing. As we do this, we will have sweet sleep. And it's going to be a revolution, because when we don't have to worry about those nightmares anymore, when we're not getting pulled out of our body anymore, when those traumatizing events that are happening coming back to us as real memories but occurring in the spirit realm aren't happening anymore, when those demonic influenced dreams aren't happening anymore, when those telepathic communications that are coming into our head aren't happening anymore, what an improvement on the quality of life. What more could we want? So folks, with that said, that's the end of this program. We're at the end. If you want to get your hands on this prayer along with all the footnotes, which basically go through everything I've talked about today, go to www.bridemovement.com. Go to our prayer resources tab. It's called Evening Prayer. Download it. If you're uncomfortable praying, you can click the play button right around it and listen to me pray it, and then just pray it like I do. So the resource is there for you. There's also a number of other prayers touching different areas of life. We have a financial prayer. We have a prayer for salvation. We have we have other ones on there for different areas of life. Prayer for healing. Prayer for cleansing the home. Take advantage of those resources. I mean, if they're there, I put them there for you. They're free. They're just available. Because what I want God's intervention in your life. I want you to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. I want you to enjoy the benefits of what this God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, the Lord of Hosts, the Lord of Armies, has for his children. I'm tired of watching so many Christians live so far beneath privilege. It breaks my heart. And we don't have to. The truth is, we don't have to. God has provision. He has answers. And part of his answer for you is getting that sleep situation all straightened out. As you can imagine, you know, we didn't have any prayers necessarily to stop sleep paralysis, but this is the thing, okay? Coming back to like this question, well, what about sleep paralysis? When you are in the armor of God, in the strong tower, surrounded by the hedge of protection, with troops of angels swarming around the whole area and sealed by the blood of Jesus, with all curses being sent back to the senders and every intruding spirit being apprehended and escorted out, what happens is whatever was causing that sleep paralysis doesn't have access anymore. With that said, folks, we're out of time on this episode. God bless, and Godspeed.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision, which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.